Hello, welcome to Say That, the podcast where your big questions get real answers. My name is Matt King. I'm your host, and joining me here in the city of Chicago is Glenn Fitzgerald, president of Mission USA.
Amen.
Wow. And also joining me in Chicago, Jed Brewer, head of Mission USA Productions.
I'd just like to tell you, now from the JedBrewer.com web store, you can order a purity toe ring.
Oh, snap.
That's foreshadowing, folks. That's what we call foreshadowing. It's also horrible. And joining us from the state of Tennessee, one of the pastors at Christ Community Church, Lee Younger. What's up, Lee?
Hey, folks. How's it going?
That was the voice of a man already regretting what's going to happen here today. All right. So if you don't know, the way the podcast works is we take questions, folks, from you right in from internet land, be that through our email or our Tumblr page. If you hang with us all the way through the end, we'll give you some ways to ask questions. We're going to start off with a Tumblr question from Cousin Ed, who I feel like there's another familial relation on Tumblr that does pretty well.
Is it Matriarch Mark?
No, and that wouldn't be, I don't know what kind of website that might be, but
that's what I get for pausing, folks. So Cousin Ed had a question, and it is, so I've read a lot of your guys' stuff on purity, and I'm wondering, I believe he would have read that, it said, very popular web blog, and I'm wondering, I even wear a purity ring anymore? I haven't had sex, but I know I'm not pure. Is there something else I could call it? Because it's still a conversation starter about real love. Thanks. Glenn, why don't you go ahead and start us off on this one?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, part of what he's talking about is on my blog, I've talked about purity quite a little bit. I get asked about, how should I look at this with purity and stuff. And the thing is that part of what I had said on there is that purity is an absolute. That's what we shoot for. That's mm-hmm. our goal, that we aspire to purity. If you look at the original biblical language that we use to translate that word, purity into, it's referring to being like God in perfection. That's what purity is. Well, I don't have that. I'm not pure. Jed is even less pure.
Very much so.
Matt acts pure, but we were not sure. And
nobody's buying it.
Lee's probably the purest one of us.
No question. That's why he's on this podcast, because we cut out all the impure things that we say and put Lee in there to keep us, sounding holy. Part of what the Christian culture is doing is redefining purity and saying purity is when you don't do anything physically with another person in a dating situation where you physically interact with one another. That's pure. Well, okay, A, it's not. It's just not doing stuff. B, you can't say that you're pure if you're thinking about doing it, which you are.
I have no idea what you are talking about.
part of what I was saying in that website, and I can kick it around to these other guys for them to really unpack it, is that word purity is kind of being defined in a way that's inspiring a certain sort of prideful thing of, look how pure I am. Yeah. And I want to maintain that by not dating women and getting to know them and interacting with them and forming healthy relationships with them and building a healthy relationship that would lead to a healthy marriage. I'm going to throw all that out because I got to be really pure. I'm going to be so pure that I'm not going to even know how to be a husband or a boyfriend or anything, or how to be nice to women. I will just be perfectly, purely clueless and wrong and retarded and bad and ridiculous,
Amen.
Yeah. So that's, I think that's my take on purity and kind of part of what he's reacting to. But I think the rest of these guys might want to break that down even more.
Yeah, absolutely. Jed, you want to jump in there for us?
Sure. Well, look, I want to be perfectly clear here. Ed's a cool dude, and we love Ed. Yeah, and Ed, none of this, man, is a knock on you. You're a good dude, and you got a good heart, and we all dig you.
Well, and I think that's what he's saying here is he's realizing that he's getting a clue of what's going on here.
Totally. I think one of the things that I would look at That doesn't have really anything to do with purity, but it has to do with Christian life generally, that I think a lot of Christians don't think through, is when you advertise to the world, hey, look at me, I'm a Christian, you're kind of setting yourself up on a pedestal. And the thing is, yeah. I think in a lot of people's minds, that's how you be a witness. But actually what you're doing is you're getting everyone in the world cheering for you to fall. Right. So like if you were, and this is a purely fictional story, but if you were the pastor of a megachurch in Colorado who was to campaign aggressively about the evils of homosexuality, and then it turns out that you've been getting full body massages and doing crystal meth with a gay prostitute, that would really that would make a lot of secular people really happy, because you put yourself on a pedestal and then you got knocked down.
Right.
And that's the way that the world works. That's not what Christians are meant to do. What Christians are meant to do is to love people. In other words, you know, that you say in the question, you know, it's a good conversation starter. And I would question that. I don't know that it is. Right. I think if you want a good conversation starter, if you want to be able to tell people about your faith, I think what you want to do is love people. And Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. If you want a conversation starter, start going and volunteering at the soup kitchen. Start going and volunteering at the homeless shelter. I will strongly bet that your friends that are atheists don't do those things. Not very many of them anyway. People are going to ask you, why do you go to the homeless shelter? Why do you go to the soup kitchen? And then you can tell them, well, Jesus loved me, and because Jesus loved me, I want to love other people. And here's the thing about that that a lot of people don't realize. If that's where you're coming from, no one's rooting for you to fail. You know, people, even people that don't believe in your religion will look at that and say, rock on, dude. You know, do more of that. But the thing for you to know is when you wear that purity ring, when you wear that, you know, a Jesus t-shirt, when you've got that fish on the back of your car, people are watching you, and not in a good way. People are watching you, waiting for you to do something schmucky. And because you're a human being, you will. You know, I can't count the number of times I've seen a dude with a fish on his car cut somebody off and act like a total jerk in traffic. And when that person does that, they're definitely being a witness. They're just being a terrible witness. They're telling people, I'm a massive hypocrite. So I think the thing here is Christians are not meant to be known for their moral stance. Christians are meant to be known for loving people that no one else cares about and putting that love into action.
Yeah, totally. Lee, you want to jump on and finish us off here in this one?
Well, I wanted to say on what Jed was talking about early on, my pastor Tom said that when he was in at UT back in the 70s, that there's a little Christian school about 45 minutes away from UT in Knoxville. This school was called Carson Newman, and on the strip in Knoxville, they would give half off beers to any girl that showed her Carson Newman student ID, you know. And it was like, if you go to a Christian Bible school and you bring your ID, we will give you half off beers, just because exact thing that Jed said. We just want to see the Christians fall, man. If you're gonna call yourself one, we will make it easier and easier for you to fall. It's funny, because when I was a kid growing up in church, they had the campaign was True Love Waits, and now they have the purity ring, and some people call it the silver ring thing, which I guess they just feel like it works more if it has a rhyme in it or something. I'm not really sure, but the True Love Waits thing, I remember they took us to this big conference, and they had, you know, they took us to this big stadium, and all these bands were playing, and that, you know,
I'm sure those were real quality bands that were at the True Love Waits rally.
They were rocking.
there were a lot of bands there. They filled this stadium and people are going crazy. And then, you know, and then we went back home to our little church. And then basically they asked us, you know, which of you guys, you know, in the youth group, which of you want to make the pledge that you're going to wait until you're married? Do any of you want to make the pledge? And it was like, and they actually made everybody that wanted to make the pledge do this publicly at a Sunday night church service, like in front of our parents. And it's like, who's not going to do this? You know, and it's like, who's going to sit there in the pew going, I just don't know where I stand on this, you know?
I kind of like sex, y'all.
I mean, I was in eighth grade. The only thing that I, you know, that that any of us ever thought about in eighth grade was sex all the time. It's the only thing that we ever thought about, you know?
In eighth grade. That's in eighth grade. That's all anyone
In the eighth grade. But, you know, that's when they made us do this thing. And so, you know, we went forward and made this pledge. Now, this is really interesting because that's been about 15 to 18 years ago. And Harvard did a study.
How long were you in eighth grade, buddy?
I don't know. It was a while back. So
okay, fair enough.
It was a while back, and the True Love Waits campaign started that long ago, and we were part of it. However long it lasted, I'm not sure. But Harvard did a sociological study on this True Love Waits thing, and they found that teenagers who took the True Love Waits pledge had premarital sex 17%, more than kids who never went to church, who never made any kind of promise or anything. And they actually said it actually backfired. It's not that their percentages were the same as the non-Christian kids. It was worse. It was 17% worse. And they thought this was so interesting. And to me, it's like, it's completely obvious. They made people say this thing. You know, they made people wear these rings and do this stuff. And it's like, look, don't put a ring on your finger until you stand before God and you make a promise to your bride, to your husband, and you're calling upon the power of Almighty God to help you keep promises that you know you don't have the power to keep and that you don't have the horsepower to keep. When you do that, then put a ring on your finger. Before that, don't, you know, and I got to echo what Jed said with these guys. I love Ed. You're a great guy. We love your support and grateful for you and all that kind of stuff. But man, and you've been pulled in like the rest of us. I walked down there and did the thing, but it doesn't help more than helping. It actually, you're looking at this thing saying, can I keep this standard? Can I keep this standard? And nothing about walking with Jesus has to do with, you know, creating a standard of behavior and then adhering to it, you know, no matter what. That's not what a walk with Jesus is about.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to kick this back to Jed in a second, but real quick, I want to point out another say that first, because that has to be the shortest time in between the phrases, I kind of like sex, y'all, and Harvard sociological study.
Yes.
I think it was about 45 seconds, and I just don't think you get that anywhere else.
I'm going to be honest here in church. I was thinking of just having sex.
That's what we call veritas.
Truly I say unto you, as soon as I can hook it up, I think that's what I'm going to do. Like, who's going to say that? I mean, come on.
I believe the bar in Knoxville that offered the Christian college girls free drinks was called Veritas. Well, yeah, I believe so. That sounds about right. Jed, do you have something else on this?
Well, look, man, just to kind of round that out and to build on all of the above, I think one of the things that's a real problem here is I think that the True Love Weight stuff and the silver ring thing and whatnot, I think it is an insult in that it diminishes the difficulty of waiting for sex before marriage.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, a lot of us have been to a Christian summer camp, and there was the guy that got up, and he's, who here is excited about Jesus? Right. And, you know, we all say, woo, and put our hands in the air. Well, as Lee's saying, if you do the rally and everything, and you say, who here is excited about remaining a virgin until marriage? The answer is no one.
Right, yeah.
No one is excited about that.
That's the kind of the sucky part there.
Exactly right. I mean, the truth is, and for no, I'm looking at both of you, and no. Okay, but Lord,
here we go.
It's good we don't have cameras. But just to drive it to the hoop, here's the truth is, if you're a young person and you're not married and you're listening to this, God's asking something hard of you. He's right. Asking something difficult. He's asking you to wait on something that you don't want to wait on. The truth is, thousands of years ago, kids got married when they were 15. That's how marriage worked. Around the time it occurred to you, I'd kind of like to have sex, it was like, all right, well, rock and roll, baby. Right. Yeah. You know, that's not the case today. You know, people have to wait a long time. It's a difficult thing. It's a hard thing, and it's disrespectful for people to ask you to be disingenuous about that, to ask you to act like you're excited about not doing something that every part of your body wants to do.
Yeah, right.
That doesn't mean that God's standard has changed. It hasn't. God does want you to wait for marriage to have sex, but it's okay to be honest about the difficulty of that. It's okay to be honest about the fact I'm not excited about it. I don't like it. I'm willing to do it because God knows what's best for me.
Right, and to jump on your point you were making earlier, instead of lifting yourself up, well, here's my ring that's like a trophy that proves how righteous I am. You know, better to humble yourself and say, I struggle with this. This is a hard
I'm taking
hard
it day by day, man.
Yeah, exactly right. Day by day.
Yeah, totally. And what, one just quick theological kind of point to add on that is, beyond what the ring represents, Jesus is pretty clear in Scripture. Let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Yeah.
The idea that someone would, because they have the Holy Spirit in them and have been part of the new covenant of the blood of Jesus, that's the reason people don't have sex before marriage. It's not that you're going to throw it out of the window and then remember the pledge card you signed before prom and that will be the thing that puts you over. That's just not realistic, and it's not how it should work.
Absolutely.
We're going to move on to another question here. Somebody sent this in anonymously to our Tumblr. She says, I've been cutting myself regularly for a while now, even though I know I shouldn't. Last week, I told one of the leaders at our church just to see if she could pray for me. She said to me, don't be ridiculous. You don't have any scars, and you've got nothing in your life to give you a reason to cut. I was so devastated because it took so long to open up and get the courage to tell her, and she just ignored it. I still want help, but I'm scared to open up to anyone now. So before I kick around these people, we're going to get the basics out of the way. You did nothing wrong. This lady is terrible at her job and should be fired like yesterday. You don't say that to people. So we're probably all going to say that a few times, but you can never hear that too much. That right. This was you doing the totally right thing. And somebody, Glenn and I were kind of talking about this question before we started. We totally believe if she's a Christian, she's going to heaven, but the Bible's pretty clear that at some point this lady's going to have to stand before God and answer for being a total schmuck in a situation where she was given something. But we want to be as clear as we can about that. And Lee, you're a youth pastor and have worked with some of this kind of stuff. Can you talk us through, say something to this girl?
Wow. I just, you know, the first, it's like you said, Matt, you just want to look at somebody, and I really wish I knew who this was so I could sit down with you, have coffee, and cry the tears that this youth worker should have cried. And say, I'm sorry that you're going through the stuff you're going through. I'm sorry that you're having the trouble that you are. I'm sorry that you're devastated, I'm just sorry. You know, somebody needs to take the time to just sit down with you and cry with you and tell you this sucks and I don't understand it. And, you know, I don't understand why things are happening that, you know, that are hurting you so badly, but I do love you and I know God loves you. And somebody needs to take the time just to do that with you. And just know that the four of us, we all feel that way. We feel like we wish we could have the chance to sit down with you and say, you know what? Your life is hard. You have to deal with things that are tough to understand, that are confusing and dark. And sometimes it's like the Lord Jesus loves us and he's been so merciful to us. He's been so good to us. And sometimes his ways are flat out confusing. Sometimes the stuff that he does is flat out hard to understand. Sometimes he does things and even in Scripture, you look at him sometimes and his reaction seems harsh and you don't understand what is he up to? What's happening right now? And it's hard to walk with God. And it's the things that you've gone through, I'm sure if everybody knew exactly what's going on in your headspace, what you've been through, some people would be flat out clueless on what to say. And my best hope for this youth worker is that they just didn't know what to do. But I honestly, I can't even defend it. It's just one of those deals where I'm sorry. And I'll tell you what, and I know that these guys all feel this way, and then I'll kick it around. But, you know, Matt's going to give you some links at the end of the show. But if you want to talk about what's happened to you and you want to talk about it, send us messages. We'll send you our personal emails. We'll talk it through with you. We'd be happy to, because I whatever's happened, I know you're hurting, but at the same time, I know God loves you. I know he has a plan for you. And I know that we as the family of God are in place to be a part of that answer for you, whatever it is.
Yeah, totally. Jed, can you help us out here?
Totally. Darlin, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that, this lady reacted the way she did. You know, it's not cool. It's not okay. And I'm sorry that you're at a place in your life where, you're going through what you're going through. You know, you're not alone. That's thing number one. You know, there's a lot of people that struggle with this, and everybody struggles with something. You're not some sort of special class of sinner. And we're all in this thing together. You know, I mean, I think it's easy when you read a blog from a Christian, or you hear a podcast from a Christian, to feel like, well, they're on this different level. And, right. you know, I'm way down here. And so, but it's not like that. The truth is, you know, we're nothing down here but sinners. You know, yeah, we all struggle. We all have a hard time. The only difference between, you know, Glenn and me and Matt and Lee and you is that we've just been doing this Jesus thing a little bit longer. Right. That's, and the reason that we know how to offer whatever advice we know how to offer that helps, it's only because we made the same mistakes, man. Right. You know, if you're trying to crawl up a hill, if you look to your right and your left and you see knee prints, those are ours. You know, that's how we know. So you're not alone, and we feel you, and we understand. And I think, you know, the key thing that you may want to look for more than anything, don't give up on finding somebody. I know it's discouraging. Don't give up. The devil's afraid of what's going to happen when you find somebody good to talk to. That's why he's pressing so hard on you. But don't give up. And when you find somebody, one of the key things you want is somebody that's prepared, to give advice, but more than that, just listen. To let you talk out what's up in your life and in your heart and in your home life, at school, how you're feeling. Because you need a safe place to get that stuff out. You deserve a safe place to get that stuff out. And I guarantee you there's people in your life that want to listen, that want to be that person for you. And like I say, any of the four of us would love to help you find those people in your life there where you are. Just drop us a note and we'd love to do that.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. Glenn, can you help us a little bit on this tip of she wants to open up to someone, but she's a little freaked out by this first instance?
Well, I can't blame her. I mean, the thing about this deal is, you know, she senses that this was wrong, which is good.
Yeah.
What she, I get a sense she's trying to kind of gauge how wrong is it. I can answer that.
All the way wrong.
It's
would be the
all
answer.
The way you've hit the high score. This is as wrong. And it's a good thing I don't know who this woman is because I'd be sorely tempted to kick a 2x4 up her butt over it.
Glenn's from Texas, people. That may not be a euphemism.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a theological concept I can explain to you later. But it can't get any more wrong. As Lee said, all of us who've been doing, you know, ministry stuff have been in situations where people tell us stuff and we don't know how to react, or we just don't even know what to say. And, you know, I guess, you know, sometimes people can say the wrong thing in that kind of situation, but this is galactically wrong. This is, and if you have ever given an answer like this, or B, if you happen to be this woman and you happen to be listening to this podcast now, you need to find a different thing to do in the kingdom.
You're making the rest of us look bad, man.
We need people to set up chairs for the service. We need people to sweep the floors. We need people to do all kinds of things for the kingdom. You do not need to be in a position to be helping and counseling, encouraging, leading Bible studies. If someone says, "Can you pray for me?" and the answer to that is, "Don't be ridiculous. I am disqualifying you from having these emotions." That is as wrong as it can get. And this is, you know, I think it's reasonable to be concerned about who you open up to. I think it's right to, you know, even within the church, because the church is full of people that are imperfect, you know, I think it's right even within the church to look for who do we want to talk to, who can we really trust here, who gets it, who understands it. And and if no one in your church has ever talked, in other words, if I wanted to know who do I talk to about my struggles in this church, I would go to the person who's talking about their struggles.
Yeah.
If you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If someone says, I used to have struggles with alcohol, I used to deal with this, that, whatever, I feel like, I can go to this person because they know what's going on. But the bottom line fundamental thing here is, you know, she says, you know, don't be ridiculous. You got nothing in your life to give you a reason to cut. Here's the thing is, when you're judging someone's emotions, that's just categorically wrong. You know, in other words, emotions are, you know, they're not right or wrong. You can't, you know, it's not your place to say that emotion's not valid based on my interpretation of your life.
Yeah.
That's not how we counsel people. That's not how you're supposed to lead people in discipleship. However people feel, that's how they feel. Yeah. And it all seems fair and reasonable to me.
Yeah.
I mean, and let's say this too. Look, you know, when I was a teenager, and I know these guys will back me up, I was dealing with as tough a stuff as I
Right.
As tough of stuff then as I deal with now.
Sure, sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I had a lot less to, a lot fewer tools.
Yeah, yeah. Less wisdom, more hormones, too.
Yeah. So, the idea of delegitimizing something because it's sort of this teenagery kind of angsty whatever, that is as bogus as it gets. If what Lee would tell you working with teenagers in Tennessee, every single kid that comes to him with any problem, okay, that's fine, that's legit, that's reasonable, however you feel about it, it's a reasonable feeling. It may not be healthy, it may not be taking you in a good direction. Obviously, we're going to look to redirect it. Obviously, she wants her life to be redirected. She's not saying this is a good and reasonable thing for me to do.
Exactly.
She's saying, pray for me, I want to change this. But, so we don't need to write in there and tell her that that's wrong. She already knows that there's something going on, But these are the things that just apparently don't occur to people that are in some sort of leadership position. They're so used to condemnation. They don't know what to do with somebody saying, hey, I would like to go the right direction. Would you give me some help? How's about praying for me? Well, they freeze up and condemn you anyway. It was like, dude, this is not how we do.
Yeah.
2x4.
Totally with the 2x4.
Also available at the Say That Podcast Shop, the official Uncle Glenn 2x4.
That's a good idea right there. A real good idea.
Well, look, man, just to reinforce what Glenn was just saying, Gal said to you, you don't have anything in your life to give you a reason to cut. Yes, you do. You're doing what you're doing for a reason. As Glenn said, it's not the right or the best approach to it. It's not the healthy response, but you're doing what you're doing for a reason. And denial is a guaranteed to fail strategy. Pretending that you don't have things to be upset about, pretending that you don't have things that are bothering you, dude, it's just going to get worse. I mean, when you find, a lump on your throat, you go to the doctor because ignoring it is the wrong idea.
Yeah, that's right.
And the spiritual version, that's the same thing. When you're us, I've come to a point where I feel like I need to cut myself in order to feel okay. That's coming. Something's driving that. And we've got to find out what that is. And you come by that feeling honestly.
Right.
You're not a freak. You're not a weirdo. The truth is, if I were in your shoes, odds are 9 in 10, I'd be doing exactly what you're doing.
You bet.
What you need is a person that is not going to be looking down on you. He's not going to be judging you. You come by what you come by honestly. It makes sense. The only thing we need to figure out is what is this a response to and what's God's solution to that problem as opposed to ours.
Right.
Yeah, totally. And we're just going to reinforce one more time. You could not have done something more right than your steps of saying, I have a problem.
That's right.
You are our leader in my church. I would like you to pray for me.
Yes,
it doesn't get any more right than that.
There's, yes, say that.
You weren't missing any of the Christian codes or anything.
Right.
If you go to someone with that attitude and their response is anything but what Lee said, how can I sit down and talk to you about this or get you to a resource? That person is a clown.
Yeah.
And they have done you the favor of ever having to listen to anything they have to say ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't need to be right now because you got other stuff to look at, but it's not a bad idea at some point to mention to people higher up in leadership about that interchange because homegirl needs to not have that job.
Yeah, you should at least, if your parents are involved in the church, that's something we want to. And I mean, we're talking about a 2x4 here and there, but for all we know, this is a gal who hasn't been on the job very long. Not necessarily a bad person, very bad response.
Yeah.
And for the sake of anyone who's ever going to go to her with a problem again,
Matt, yes, if I could jump in, one more word jumped out at me in the question where she said, I was so devastated because it took so long to get the courage to tell her. And I just want to say, you're darn right. I mean, you had a lot of courage. You're a brave girl.
Yes.
And we all toast you for that. I mean, thanks for being courageous. And
absolutely.
And don't give up on that. And don't turn off that courage, but just turn it in the direction like these brothers are talking about.
2x4.
All right. We've got one last question here. This comes into us from the Tumblr by one of our great Tumblr friends. You make me want to be brave.
That's right.
From New Zealand. She has a question, says, I've recently started full-time work and have also taken up the opportunity to serve more in my church and community. It feels like everything in my life has ramped up a few gears. How do I manage to keep building my relationship with God through this and not let the business of everyday life get in the way? How do you all manage to keep a balance in your lives? Jed, you're a man who's never been described as balanced, but you managed to juggle several things. Can you help out?
Not only does he not have a balanced life, but... but he has very little physical coordination on top of that.
It's true. Fate has declared that not only will I wipe out with great regularity, it will always be in front of Glenn.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I have taken more spills in front of Glenn. It's unbelievable. I have very nearly needed to go to the hospital on multiple occasions right in front of Glenn. Bridie, and I hope I'm saying your name okay. I think you're awesome.
I didn't even want to attempt it. You're a braver man than I.
I think it's Bridie. You can correct us if it's not. But balance is hard, dude. It's a struggle for me. I think it's a struggle for all of us. You know, for folks that are involved in ministry, it's just tough. You know, I think there's practical answers to it, and there's kind of more theological answers to it, and I'll give you a couple of the theological answers and let these other brothers give you some more of the practical answers. The theological answers are to keep in mind kind of first and foremost who you're responsible to.
Yeah.
Your number one responsibility in life is God. Mm-hmm. If you get married at some point, your number two responsibility will be to your spouse. You know, your number three responsibility, if you ever have children, will be to them. After that, you're responsible to your employer and to, you know, your mission field and that kind of thing. But all the decisions that you make want to keep that order in mind. It's God first, spouse second, kids third, everything else after that. And I can tell you, too, part of what that means is there's going to be people in your life that are unhappy with that. You know, between keeping my boss happy and my wife happy and my God happy, I, generally speaking, have nothing left. And I got people who say, man, I haven't heard from you in a long time, man. You know, where have you been? And I have to explain to them, see, if you don't sign my paychecks or share a bed with me, there's other people I got to please first. So, you know, let me know when that changes. But that's the first thing is the priority. But the second thing is to remember, and I think it's easy for all of us that are doing ministry stuff to lose sight of this, that we don't make this go. There's a job that God's asking you to do, but you don't make it go, and neither do I. You know, it's God's job to make ministry work. It's God's job to change lives and hearts. Your job is to go where He says and say the things that He says, but then to leave that with Him, because He's the only one that can take a seed and make it grow. He's the only one that can do that work. And I think if you can get that priority structure in place and remember what His job is versus yours, I think you'll be pointed in the right direction in terms of balance.
Yeah,
for sure. Lee, can you jump in there?
Sure. I want to throw in kind of one little spiritual thought and one little practical thought. The spiritual thought that I want to throw in there is just to remember that every single day when you wake up, you are in a spiritual battle. You have an enemy that is prowling around, Peter says, like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Every single day, you don't wake up in neutral ground. You wake up in a battlefield every single day. You wake up in the middle of an ambush. There is an enemy who wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to feel overwhelmed. Yeah. He wants you to feel like everything in your life is pulling you too many directions to actually walk with the Lord in the way that you used to when it was so easy and when it was so calm, and you just can't do that anymore. And a lot of times when you're talking about things that the enemy wants you to believe, you just have to get in his face and say it. It's one of the things that I love about, you know, the Uncle Glenn blog that's so popular, you know, on the Tumblr is really popular.
It's,
Lee,
it's
would you
really
describe popular. That as very popular?
I would say it's quite popular to extremely popular. It's somewhere in that range. But there's
Glenn's
you know,
actually up for a knighthood in the Philippines. A lot of people don't know that.
Right,
but you know, he's got the series of posts, the Dear Satan posts, which my friends and I, we all read those together. We have a men's group that meets on Saturday morning. We literally read those out loud and just laugh together. And in laughing about it, we get encouraged, because it's just so cool when somebody takes, you know, and sheds the light on the spiritual warfare and just says, you know what, Satan, you're a jerk and your lies aren't going to work on me. And yeah, I'm busy, but I know that Jesus is right here with me the whole time. And I can actually do everything in my life in a way that pleases Him. And I know that He's called me to all these things. So I know that I can ramp my walk up right alongside everything else. And so that's kind of a thought, just to remember that you're in a battle. And then the little practical thought I had was, Have you ever thought, and maybe you already have one, but have you thought about getting an audio Bible for like your iPhone or for your iPod? I know for me, like when I have weeks where I'm on the move a lot and just driving around a lot, or have a, you know, a lot of meetings and stuff like that, and I'm commuting around and stuff, having an audio Bible is super helpful. And I know that might sound trite, but for me personally, it's been super helpful just to have that quiet time. Listen, you know, listen to someone reading the scriptures to me. I've got a couple that I really, really like and that are different. You know, some of them, one of them is, you know, acted out by people. It's got the soundtrack and, you know, scoring and everything. It's really beautiful. And it's just a cool way for me to kind of take in the scriptures when I've got to be on the move. And the Lord knows that, and He remembers you are dust, and He's gonna take care of you. But that's kind of one little practical suggestion I would make.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion, Glenn.
Yeah, I think in terms of balance is super important. When you're going to get involved in ministry, as Lee's suggesting here, the devil's going to push you into being too busy. And you know, having too much to do.
That never happens here at all.
Yeah, no, I am totally unfamiliar with being massively overworked and
completely.
I'm so innocent.
They call me Peaceful Jed.
Is that what they call you?
Yeah, totally. That's the way I'm known everywhere I go.
You're just a mellow, peaceful person.
Totally, totally.
Not just one ball of stress.
Anyway, I bet you didn't know that's what stress sounds like.
Here's the thing is, I don't know if you've heard of this, but I'm betting that you've had it sort of directed at you, is this concept of the Protestant, so-called Protestant work ethic. This idea that work makes you good, it makes you holy, makes you a better person, more...
There is nothing I enjoy more than a stiff labor in honor of my Lord.
That's the idea is...
Well, there's that.
That work makes you more holy. You're a better person. You're living a more moral life. You're a more responsible person. But here's the thing: is if you actually read the Old Testament, work was a curse. You know, they kicked him out of the garden and said, "Now you got to work." And then it says later on, I want you to set aside a day and keep that day holy. And on this holy day, you don't do work. You know, that's what makes it holy is the rest and the focus on me. So I think I would urge you to get that fixated in your mind that the rest is holy, that rest is important, that rest is essential. And to have a whatever it is, whether it's a day or whether it's, you know, parts of several days or however that needs to be handled in your schedule, but to carve out time that is sacred, that does not get intruded upon. Yeah. I don't care if it's Aunt Trudy. I don't care if it's, you know, whatever, where you tell the whole world, nope, I'm not going to, you know, be available for that. This is my time where I need to have worship. I need to, like Lee is saying, get into my word. Even if that's just getting in the car and driving and listening to it, like he's saying on his iPod and stuff. Maybe it's, you know, doing something with exercise. There's a zillion different ways of doing it. But the idea is that you disconnect yourself from everything and reconnect with the Lord and make sure that that stays vital. I think that's the main thing is seeing that rest time is holy.
Yeah, some of the best advice I've ever gotten from a friend in ministry was somebody who would say, put that time in your day planner. So, you know, whatever it is from, you know, 3 to 6 on Thursday, I do whatever it is for me. So when someone asks you, hey, can you come do the thing and lead the kids? You got, no, I'm sorry, I have an appointment.
Right.
Tell them what the appointment is. And most of the time people have a weird amount of respect for calendars and day
planners.
That's
so true.
You can say,
yeah.
All right. We appreciate you folks listening to us. We want to real quick thank some folks who not only have sent in questions, but have left us reviews on iTunes. That helps out a ton, helps us move up some rankings and get seen by more folks. So thanks to our friends, Brittany and Ed, who both wrote in questions today, and also some great friends of ours, Hannah Larson, Devin McCarty, Taylor Lane, Ender's dad. We appreciate it a ton. Some addresses where you can get a hold of us to either talk about stuff you heard or send in questions. You can go to thebridgechicago.tumblr.com. And if you want to talk to one of us individually, just that's the best place to go and just ask, and we can send you some other places. You can write in to saythatpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We love you. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it.